Reishir is Daf Kufnan Zayin, and we're going to begin on Daf Kufnan Vav Amibayz on the Mishnah. As we've been learning many times in this Masechta, we have Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding Hilchas Muksa. Rabbi Shimon has a much broader, much more limited actually, definition of Muksa, and Rabbi Yehuda has a broader definition. What does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda says that unless something was actively prepared for use on Shabbos, it's muksa. According to Rabbi Shimon, something does not have to actually be actively prepared for use on Shabbos. As long as it wasn't, as long as it's usable, then it's not muksa. Begins the Mishnah. We could cut up cucumbers before an animal on Shabbos for it to eat. So the way Rashi explains the Mishnah, we're talking about cucumbers that are already detached from the floor. But cucumbers that are detached from the floor are generally designated for human consumption. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's the way Rashi explains, that muchan l'adam, if something was prepared for human food, lo have a muchan l'klavin, it's not prepared for animals to eat, and therefore it remains muksa. Rav Shimon says that's not a reason for it to be muksa. As long as it has a usability, it's not muksa. That's how Rashi explains. Other Rishonim explain that the cucumbers could even be attached to the floor. As long as they're edible, the fact that they were attached before Shabbos doesn't make a difference. Furthermore, Vesnevelefnei klovim, we could cut up a carcass of an animal and give it to dogs to eat it. How do we explain this? So the way most Mefarshim explain this is like this. An animal is usually designated for human consumption. Here, this animal died, became an avela, died in Shabbos. We no longer could eat it because it wasn't shochten properly. So now, I want to give it to a dog to eat. Says Rabbi Yehuda, muchan la'adam, since at the beginning of Shabbos it was prepared for human consumption, lo have a muchan la'klavim, it's not prepared for animals, and it becomes muksa. Rav Shimon says, as long as it's usable, it's not muksa. Yehuda Oima, em lo yehos nevela ma'ariv Shabbos, if it wasn't nevela for ma'ariv Shabbos, asura, it's asur, fishenem muchan, because it wasn't prepared for animal food on Shabbos. Now, a few points. As we explained, Rashi explains that both cases of the Mishnah of Mechatran HaSadaluim Lefnei Behema versus Nevei Lefnei Klovim are both examples of Machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda saying in both cases it's Muksa, and Rabbi Shimon in both cases saying it's not Muksa. However, some Rishonim say that the machloikis is only in the second case of as in the flailul of nei klovim, but in the case of deluim, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that it's not muksa. That's what the Ritva says, and Ritva says a very nice explanation. He says even Rabbi Yehuda that holds muchan la'adam la'have muchan la'klovim. When does he say that? He says that by something which is not edible to humans, but if something is still edible to humans, just because I decide to give it to a dog to eat doesn't make it muksa. That's how the Ritva explains. Now we have to understand Rashi. Rashi says that Rabbi Yehuda will disagree in this case. Why will he disagree in this case? If it's edible to humans, so just because I decided to give it to a dog, why Rabbi Yehuda say it's muksa? So Rishon must say that Rashi will have to speak about a case where the cucumbers are no longer edible to humans, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda will say it's muksa. We learned earlier in the Masechta that if somebody cuts vegetables into small pieces, that's called toichen. So now the Mefarshim ask, even if there is no problem, as Rav Shimon says, of muksa here, why is there no problem of toichen, that I cut the vegetable into small pieces? So Rishonim explain that when is it considered toichen? only if I cut the vegetable into very small pieces. Here we're not talking that we cut the cucumber into small pieces. But there's a very interesting Egle Tal. The Egle Tal says that the only time cutting vegetable into small pieces is considered toichin is when the person or whoever is eating those vegetables want them, enjoy them more when they're small pieces. That's when it's called toichin. So if a person's making a salad and cutting the vegetables into small pieces, that's called toichin. But an animal doesn't really care if it's big pieces or small pieces, and that's why it's not considered toichin. Tosfos asks, why are we saying that es nevelu lefnei klovim is muksa according to Yehuda, because muchen la'adam, la'ev muchen la'klovim, if it's prepared for humans, doesn't make it prepared for dogs? Why don't we say it's muksa machmas iser? I'm not allowed to, we're talking on Shabbos, we're not allowed to shecht an animal on Shabbos, so this animal coming into Shabbos was muksa machmas iser, was put away because I can't use it, I can't slaughter it, I can't eat it until I slaughter it. So, which is a much higher level of muksa than the muksa of muchan, that the fact that it wasn't actively prepared. So Tosfos answers, certain live animals can be eaten by dogs even without slaughtering. For example, a bird, he says. A dog will eat a bird live. So it wouldn't be muksa machmas iser. The only reason it's muksa is because it's muksa, because it's muchen la'adam, la have a muchen la'klovim. And Tosfos brings a very nice raya. He says, let's look at the last words of the Mishnah. The last words of the Mishnah are, im l'hois in the veil ma'ar Shabbos, asur. But then the Mishnah adds some words, l'fish enem and amuchen. Why did the Mishnah have to add the words l'fish enem and amuchen? Im l'hois in the veil ma'ar Shabbos, asur, because it was muchen la'adam, and muchen la'adam la have a muchen la'klovim. What the Mishnah is trying to say is, l'fish enem muchen. It's not because it's just because it's muksa machmas iser, because it's not muchen la'adam la have a muchen la'klovim. Itmar. Aral Shachaz Simen Am Ula Halach Rabbi Yehuda. The Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Vaf Rav Sav Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Rav also held the Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Medekarchi Dezuzi. As we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, we were talking about ship mats, mats that were used for covering ships' cargo. The Rav Osir, Rav did not let people move them because they were muksa. And the way Tosfos explained, the muksa was muksa machmas mias v'shmul shari. Rav obviously holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and hilchos muksa Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon. Says the Gemara, v'af Levi savak halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have a third Gemara that holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Levi. Ki had the Levi, kavemaisa tirfas lekamei biyontif, when they would bring a potential treifa to Levi to look at in Yontif. That means if they shechted an animal on Yontif and they wanted to check if the animal was mux or not, he would be careful. He would only inspect it when he was sitting next to a garbage dump. Why? Because he knew that if he's going to determine that it's muksa, he won't be able to move it. You're not going to want to leave the animal where it is. So if you examine it right by the garbage dump, you could just leave it there. Doma, as he said, maybe the animal won't be kosher, but feel like klavim lechazia, even though I could give it as animal food, but that's not going to be okay. Why? Because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Muchen l'adam, since this animal at the beginning of Yontif was designated for animal for human feed, la'ev muchen l'klavim, you can't give it for a dog. So I have to leave it right where it is. It's very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch Rav paskins that on Yontif, if a Rav is examining an animal that was slaughtered in Yontif, like this Gemara says, he should examine it in a place that if it turns out to be not kosher, he can leave it there, because otherwise it'll be muksa. Mishnah Berura in Siman Tov Tzadik Zayin says that we're allowed to move an animal even if it's determined not to be kosher. And he says an interesting reason. He says, if we won't allow you to move the animal that's identified as not kosher, we're concerned that people won't shecht on Yontif, and in order to avoid that, we allowed animals to be moved on Yontif. Shmuel Amalach Rav Shimon. Shmuel said that the Alach Rav Shimon. Vav Ziri said Alach Rav Shimon. And Ziri also said the Alach Rav Shimon. The Tanan, Behemah Shemesa, if animal died, lo yizazenem mikayma. You're not allowed to move it. The Targum of Ziri. So Ziri said, when did this animal, what animal that died in Yontif may not be moved? But behemas kachim, only an animal that's kachim. That there, once the animal dies, you can't have any use from it, so it's muksa. However, al bechulin, but animal that was chulin that died, even though before Yom Tov it was designated for human consumption. Now humans won't be able to eat it because it died, it's in the veila, but it's still not muksa, shapadami. Now Tosfos asks an interesting shaila. Here the Gemara just said the Shmuel HaMelech Krib Shimon. Asked Tosfos, didn't we learn before that Shmuel agrees, that doesn't agree with Muksa, because Shmuel allowed them to move the Kaka and the Zuzi. So why does the Gemara have to say twice that the Halacha is that Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon? So Tosfos says that the previous Muksa was easier Muksa than this Muksa. But Tosfos doesn't explain what he means. So Mefarshim explained that before Kaka and the Zuzi we said was Muksa Machmas Mias. Here, it may be Muksa Machmas Isser. As we're going to learn later in this year, Muksa Machmas Isser is a more serious type of Muksa than Muksa Machmas Mias, and therefore it could be that he holds a Muksa. What the Gemara is trying to say is that not only did Shmuel not subscribe to Muksa Machmas Mias, but he also doesn't subscribe to Muksa Machmas Isser. So Sas Emes says a very nice teretz, and it's based on something the Rosh says. There are poiskim that want to say that the halachas of muksa on yontif may be different than the halacha muksa on Shabbos. And even if we paskin like Rav Shimon on Shabbos and we are mekel, we won't necessarily agree with him on yontif. Mefarshim explain why, because since we may be slacks in hilchos yontif, Chazal may have been more machmer in muksa on yontif. This Gemara that we just learned took place on Yontif, and yet we see that they pass in like Rav Shimon even on Yontif. That's Pshat in the Gemara. Pshat in the Gemara is that not only did Shmuel Paskin in the previous Gemara like Rav Shimon on Shabbos, but Shmuel Paskin like Rav Shimon even on Yontif. Vast Rav Yochan on my Lach Rav Shimon. Also Rav Yochan said that Lach is like Rav Shimon. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amar Rav Yochan Hachi. Did Rav Yochan say that Lach is like Rav Shimon from Rav Yochan? We know that Rabbi Yochanan says throughout Shas that Allah Kistam Mishnah, that we always follow an anonymous Mishnah, but it's not. And we learned in the Mishnah, Eim Avakim Eitzim Nakaris. We're now allowed to split wood from beams for firewood and yontif. We're talking here about a stack of wood that have been set aside for use in construction. And like Tosfos explains in the Afkufna and Vavam Beis, this is Muksa Machmas Chisar and Kis. It's wood that's going to be used for construction. It won't be used for fuel. And everybody will agree, even Rav Shimon will agree with this Muksa, because Rav Shimon agrees with Muksa Machmas Chisar and Kis. But the question, as Tosfos explains, is from the next line. But it also says there in the Mishnah Masechta Beya, V'loy min HaKayosh Nizbar Yontif, not from a beam that broke on Yontif. Now, this beam that's broken is no longer fit for use in construction. Now it's going to be used for firewood. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's muksa, because since it wasn't actively designated for firewood, as we said at the beginning of this year, that will be muksa. But according to Rav Shimon, it doesn't have to be actively designated. As long as it has a use, it's not muksa. What is this Mishnah saying? That you're not allowed to use it. So here we have a Stam Mishnah, the Paskins, like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, who saw the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Matzalah. Rabbi Yochanan says that it's not a Stam Mishnah, it's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that said that Mishnah. And since it's not a Stam Mishnah, we could Paskin, we don't have a problem that how does Rabbi Yochanan go against the Stam Mishnah? Toshma, so Gemara asks another question. It says, Maschilin Barimas Ateven. We're allowed to begin using a stack of straw as fuel for fire on Yontif. So the way the Rishonim explain, Rashi and Tosfos explain the Gemara at this point assumes that the Mishnah is referring to straw that had become decayed and was no longer fit even for animal food. Because it cannot be used for animal food, it stands to be used for fuel. And that's why everybody agrees that you could take from that pile of straw and use it for firewood. We can't use wood that is in a backyard, since it's put away for construction. It's not designated specifically for fuel, that's why it's muksa. Now, who would this go like? There it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, that since the wood wasn't actively designated for use on Yom Tov, it's muksa. A coin of Shimon doesn't have to be actively designated. As long as it's usable, it's not muksa. Answers the Gemara, there's no raya from that Mishnah. Because there it's talking about hosam ba'arzi vashuchi. They were talking about male or female wood, was very expensive wood. The muksa machmuk sarnkis, which is a muksa machmuk sarnkis, and a feeler of Shimon Moida, even if Shimon agrees with muksa machmuk sarnkis, that it's muksa. Toshma, from another Mishnah. A mashkin v'sharchtenes midbarius. Animals that are out in the midbar, in the desert, were not allowed to give it to drink. Their minig, as Rashi explains, was before they slaughtered an animal, they would give it water to drink because it would help get off the circus, get off any lesions on the lung, which would make it kosh treif if they were there and they don't come off. But you're not allowed to give it to drink because you're not allowed to shech them on yontif. Why not allowed to shech them on yontif? Because since they're ranging outside freely, they weren't designated for yontif, and since they weren't designated, you can't use them. Avamashk v'shach and the spices. Domestic animals that are in the house can be given. So here we have a Stam Mishnah that paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Since these animals weren't designated for use in Yontif, he says they're muksa. Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Stam Machrin Ashkach. Rabbi Yochanan has a different Stam Mishnah. That means, even though we have one Stam Mishnah that shows like Reb Yehuda, since now we're going to have a Stam Mishnah that holds like Reb Shimon, that's why it's not a problem and Reb Yochanan could pass like Reb Shimon. Because we learned the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. B'shama Amim, Nabim Al Shulchan, we can remove from the table bones, at Atzomus Aklipin, bones and peels. They're not considered Muksa. Now, Rashi explained that we talking about hard bones. However, Tosfos says that if they're hard bones, they're not even usable for animals, and even Rav Shimon would then agree that it's muksa. That's why Tosfos explained that we're talking about soft bones. So Beis Shammai says we can move him. Obviously, he says there's no problem with muksa, it would be a muksa machmas mias. Beis Hillel says no. Don't move the muksa directly, because it's muksa machmas mias. What should you do? Rather, mesalak as a tavla kula, pick up the whole table, menara, and shake off the muksa. So the way Mepharshim explained the Gemara is like this. We know we have a klal and all of Shas. Beis Shammai, b'mokim Beis Hillel, ain a Mishnah. Beis Shammai, in the place of Beis Hillel, doesn't count. That means, this is a Beis Hillel psak, is equal to a Stam Mishnah. Now we have here, at this point, a Stam Mishnah with Beis Hillel paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. However, when we learned the Gemara, we learned, Vom Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman taught us, Anu Elanu Ella, we know that it's just the reversed. You have to reverse the Shitas. Beis Shammai is going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Hillel is going to hold like Rabbi Shimon. Beis Shammai is going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda that you can't touch the peels, the bones, because the muksa makom smiyus, and Beis Hillel is going to allow you, because he holds like Rav Shimon. If we pass him like Beis Hillel, and as we said a moment ago, Beis Hillel has the same status as a Stam Mishnah, so here we have a Stam Mishnah that paskins like Rav Shimon, and that's why Rav Yochanan can paskin like Rav Shimon. Now Tosfos asks a question. What did we say was the proof? Where was the Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda? The Mishnah said, "Ein shoychten, ein mashkin v'shoychten esemid borius." That you're not allowed to shlecht an animal that's out pasturing, out that went out for months to pasture. Ask Tosfos, an animal that went out for months to pasture is like grogus tzmukim. We learned early in the Masechta that they used to take figs and grapes up to dry, and during the drying process, they were inedible, and since they were inedible during the drying process, they were considered muksa. So, and even Rav Shimon will agree to that muksa. So ask Tosfos, why are we saying that that Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon will agree that animals that are out at the pasture are Muksu, because like Rogus it's Mukim. So the Rabban says you can't compare animals out pasturing to Grogus at Smukim. Why? Grogus at Smukim, we actively designated it, put it on the roof, and we know that during this process they're going to be non-edible, non-usable. The animals that are out pasturing, it's not that we specifically sent them out without any intention of using them. They're out there, but they may come, and if they come, they're certainly good animals, and that's why they will not be considered muksa. Now, as we said before, muksa means to set aside. There are different levels of muksa. And the more you set something aside, the more likely it is to be muksa. Says the Gemara, Pligba Rav Acha Ravina. There was a machlokes Rav Acha Ravina. Chan Omer, one man Omer said, B'chol HaShabbos Kula Aloch Rav Shimon. In all of Hilchos Shabbos, the Aloch is like Rav Shimon. And Ramban makes a very important point. We, in today's Gemara, have been discussing the machlokes of Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda regarding Hilchos Muksa. But as we know, Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda have other very fundamental machlokes and disagreements in this Masechta, as we've been learning. They argue regarding Dovah Shein Meskavin, Rav Shimon is Mekel, Rav Yehuda is Machmer. They argue regarding Melochah Shein Tzrich Legufa, Rav Shimon is Mekel, Rav Yehuda is Machmer. Says the Ramban, since the Gemara is using the terminology of B'chol HaShabbos Kula Halach Rav Shimon, and all Hilchos Shabbos we passing like Rav Shimon, doesn't just say Muksa? The Gemara is trying to teach us that we always passing like Rav Shimon in all the halachas, by muksa, by melach shen tzrich legufa, by derev shen miskaven, labar mamuksa machmas mias. Except for muksa machmas mias, was there, we're not going to agree with Reb Shimon, we're going to agree with Reb Yehuda that it's muksa. My nihu, what is an example of muksa machmas mias? Ner yoshim, an old used clay lamp, which became very mias, that will be muksa. And the way most Rishonim learn, if we're going to paskin muksa machmas mias is muksa, we're certainly going to paskin that muksa machmas iser, which is a higher level of muksa, will certainly be muksa. V'charamar, and the other man says no. But muksa machmas mias nami alach Rav Shimon. By muksa machmas mias, we're also going to paskin like Rav Shimon that it's muksa. What muksa won't we agree with Rav Shimon? Levav muksa machmas iser. Mainly, what's muksa machmas iser? Ner shedlika b'boros Shabbos, a lamp that was designated for burning at the onset of Shabbos, even if the fire goes out, it's considered muksa machmas iser because I couldn't move it at the beginning of the Shabbos, because moving it would involve an iser of kibui, of extinguishing the lamp. As machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, muksa machmas iser if it needs dach b'yadayim, that I should specifically have set it aside. Tosfos here says it requires dach b'yadayim. Rashi disagrees. He says muksa machmas iser is always usur. Avol muksa machmas chisaron kis. If something is muksa machmas chisaron kis, says the Gemara, I feel Rav Shimon Moide, even Rav Shimon agrees that it's muksa. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, kol hakelim natolim v'shabbos, all utensils can be taken in Shabbos, chutz mimaaseh hagadol, except for a large saw, v'yaseh shemechritza, and something used for plowing. Since people won't use these utensils for anything else, they're designated only for their use, and the muksa machmas chisaron kis, which Rav Shimon agrees. We begin the last Mishnah in a way of introduction. If somebody makes a neder, if somebody makes a vow, so if a wife makes a vow, the Torah HaKadosh says b'yom shamay, on the day the husband hears, and we'll explain that in a Gemara soon a little more elaborately, the husband could be mefer, he could annul the vow. A father b'yom shamay, on the day that he hears the vow of his daughter, also could be mefer it. Which daughter? So the Torah says the daughter is a Nara. She's from 12 to 12 and a half. But truthfully, it could even be from 11 to 12, because Allah is a Mufla, Hasamach L'Isha Isha, a girl who's almost of age. Also, if she's of adequate intelligence, the Halacha is Hanidarim Anidarim. So says the Mishnah, Mefirim Nedarim b'Shabbos. A father or husband can annul those vows on Shabbos. V'nishalim Nedarim, Shein L'tzarech Shabbos. Another way of annulling a vow is going to a Chacham, Tamumcha, or going to a Bezdit and saying that we have regret. Had we known that the circumstances and the repercussions of the net that we wouldn't have made it, and the Bezdin could annul the vow. That also could be done in Shabbos. Which types in the Dorim? The Dorim, Shein L'tzarech Shabbos, if they have necessary for Shabbos. As the way the Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch explains, the Tzarech Shabbos has a very broad explanation. The explanation of Tzarech Shabbos means anything that will affect my Onik Shabbos. It doesn't necessarily only mean something that I must have for Shabbos. That means, let's say, somebody made a nether that they won't eat, and the halacha is in Shabbos, you're not allowed to fast. That, of course, the halacha is, that's the Tzarech Shabbos. But even things that are not as critical as that, let's say somebody made a nether that they won't sleep, and Shina b'Shabbos Tainik, sleeping in Shabbos is an enjoyment. Or somebody made a nether that they won't eat a specific food which they enjoy. All that is considered Tzarech Shabbos. Now the Melech HaShloima asks an obvious question. What is the connection of this Mishnah with the previous Mishnah? So he answers that here we're talking that somebody made a nether before Shabbos about a specific food. Since he made a nether about a specific food, I might think that that food now becomes muksa because he's not allowed to eat that food. He made a nether that he won't eat it. And then we come back to the question that we learned before, the machlokes of Yehuda and Shimon regarding muksa. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. Since the halach is that the nether under certain circumstances could be annulled on Shabbos, that's why it's not muksa. Or parki kinesmar, we can close up a window on Shabbos. As we learned a machlokes earlier on Daf Kuf Chav Hei, Rabbi Eliezer said that if somebody takes a board to close up a window, that's called, we consider that type of binyan, and it's also in Shabbos, unless it was tied, if that board was tied to the window before Shabbos. The Chacham were Mekel, they said that even if it wasn't tied, we could put it up against the window. Or mitzvah din is a matlis. We can measure a rag to determine whether it's able to generate tumah. Because the halacha is that a rag is only, or a piece of material only generates tumah when it's 3x3 at spars. And we have to now measure it to see if it has that shear. Or mitzvah din is a mikvah. Similarly, we could measure a mikvah to see if it has mem saw, 40 saw, mikvah has to have 40 saw to be a kosher mikvah, or to check if it has the right dimensions, which Rashi explains it has to be 3 amas deep by 1 amma by 1 amma wide. Says the Mishnah story, and we'll explain the story more when we get to the Gemara. Ma'isav may avish reb tzadik, or may abishal bebotnis. Shepokas amabit fiach, they shuttered a window with an earthenware flask, the kashrus megida begemi, and they tied an earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass, lay them yesh begigis pesach tafach malayav, to know if there was a handbreadth sized opening in a certain barrel, to know if there was a tefach. We learned shepokikin amaditin vekosh mishabbos, that you're allowed to shutter, measure, and tie in Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Ibayiluhu. We said that on Shabbos, you're allowed to be shoyl and neder, that's Litzoyrach. Now the question is, Haforo, that we said that you're also allowed to be mefor on Shabbos. Is it Bein Litzoyrach or Bein Shaloy Litzoyrach? There it's even a neder that's not Litzoyrach Shabbos. V'sheila, but Sheila Litzoyrach and only in Litzoyrach Shabbos, yes. Shaloy Litzoyrach Loy. And that will make sense, and that will help us understand why it's called beginner ma'adadi, why the Mishnah separated these two types of annulling a nether, because hafara will be mutter both with tzarech and shloi l'tzarech, and shela will be only mutter l'tzarech. I don't know, hafara nami l'tzarech in shloi l'tzarech loy. Hafara will also only be mutter only l'tzarech and not shloi l'tzarech. But if so, why did the Mishnah separate the two types of annulment? But how the kav polag l'madadi? Why did the Mishnah separate the two types? Because hafara ain't tzarech bezdin, because hafara doesn't require a court. It's only the father or a husband, the shayla tzricha bezdin, and a shayla requires either a yachad mumcha or a bezdin. Tashma, the ton is zu to the beira papa, mefir in the darm b'shabbos, we could be made from the darm b'shabbos. So it says, l'tzarech ha-shabbos, only l'tzarech shabbos, l'tzarech shabbos in, shaloi l'tzarech shabbos loy. Lishnachrona, there's another version. Now what this other version does is really the same question and essentially the same answer, but it explains the question a little better. When it says the Gemara, Ibailu, Litzarech atavai ktani, when the Mishnah said Litzarech, was it talking both by Afora and by Shaila that the halacha is you're only allowed to do Litzarech Shabbos, Vishloi Litzarech Loi, Vishloi Litzarech Yonatu? Why? So let's explain. As we said when we learned the Mishnah, the Torah says that a father or a husband can be made for a neder b'yoyim shamay, on the day that they hear. Now what does that mean b'yoyim shamay? There's two definitions that we'll see in the Gemara. Either b'yoyim shamay means until the end of that day. So if the father, husband heard about the neder in the afternoon, they only have until night to be made for the neder. Or b'yoyim shamay could mean 24 hours. Now let's understand. If they only have till the end of Shabbos, so then he can be made for any nether, even a nether shloi l'tzarech. Because if you're not going to be made for it before the end of Shabbos, they're going to lose their opportunity to be made for the nether. But if it's 24 hours, there is no need to be made for the nether on Shabbos, because they still have 24 hours from when they heard, be made for the nether on Matzah Shabbos. So now the Gemara says, if you say you only can be made for nether l'tzarech alma, Hafaras and Dharma's lace. You have 24 hours from when you heard about the nether to make for it. So don't be made for it in Shabbos. Adilma, Kiktani Litzaruch, when the Mishnah said Litzaruch, Ashelu Diktani. It's only regarding Shayla. Avla Hafaras and Dharma, regarding Hafaras and Dharim, Afila Shalai Litzaruch. That you could be made for even Shalai Litzaruch. You know why? Because Avla Hafaras and Dharim, Kalayyam, you only hear that till the night. So that's why even though the nether is Shalai Litzaruch, because I have no other time to do it, I'm allowed to do it on Shabbos. I'm allowed to be made for it on Shabbos. Toshima. On that, the Gemara repeats the brayse that we just learned. The Tani is Rav Zuti, the Beir Apapi, Mefirim Midor, Mishabbos, Lotzarech Shabbos. And you're made for Ned, Lotzarech Shabbos in, only what Tzarech Shabbos, Shloi Lotzarech Loi Shabbos Loi. But if it's not Lotzarech Shabbos, you're not allowed to. Alma, it's obvious, Haforos Nadorim is Me'ais Leis. Haforos Nadorim is for 24 hours, so there's no reason to be made for a Ned, Shloi Lotzarech Shabbos, you have time afterwards. Amar Vashi, ask Ravashi, Vanantana, we learned in the Mishnah, in Mesecht and the Dorim, Haforos Nadorim Kalayoyim. Hafaras Nedarim, the father or the husband's right to be made for nedars all day. Yesh behadavah lahakal hachmer. That means it could come out more or less time. That's how the Mefarshim explained. Ketzer. Not for Leil Shabbos. If she made a nedar Friday night, so made for Leil Shabbos, the father has a right to be made for all Friday night. V'yoyim Shabbos at Shetachshach. He can make the farah until Matzoi Shabbos. So he has plenty of time. But what happens if Nodrim Chashecha? The nedar was made not long before Shabbos ends. Mefer at Shloi Techshech. He only has until Friday Matzoi Shabbos. Shimloi Fefer. If he doesn't do that for in that small window, Mechshecha and Yachalefer. Once it becomes night, it's too light. He can no longer be Mefer. So you see that you only have till night. Says the Gemara Tanaihi. It's a Machloek Tanoim. The Tanya Hafaras Adorim Kolayoyim. You only have till the night. Rav Yosef Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon Amru, Me'es Le'es, you have 24 hours. And this Machloikis will be the basis of the Machloikis if you can be made from the Dorim that Ashaloi Litzarech. If you have 24 hours, you can't. If you don't, if you only have till night, then you can be made for even the Dorim Ashaloi Litzarech. Now when we learn this Gemara, we have a very fundamental Shaila. On Yom Kippur, at night, we say Kol Nidre. Now Kol Nidre is annulling a nedarim, we're being mat and neder. We just finished learning a sugya that you're now allowed to be mat and neder on Shabbos Yontif. So that's why the Rabbeinu Tam explains that Kol Nidre does not serve to nullify somebody's past nedarim. And he explains that anyway, it's missing some of the key elements that Hataros Nadarim require. Rather, he says, it's a declaration regarding future Nadarim. This is Mutar on Yontif. However, the Rosh says that Hataros Kel Nidre does serve to retroactively be matin Nadarim. But if that's the case, then we have a question. How can you do it on Yontif? So that's why Derma writes that it's the minig to say Kol Nidre before nightfall. Since you're saying Kol Nidre before night, there's no problem. It's not Yom Kippur yet. It's not Yontif. So I can be matin Nadarim. Others say that we just finished saying that Hataros Nadarim, that's Litzayrich, is Mutter. And Yom Kippur is the day of Yom Slicha Kapara, a day that we ask Hashem for forgiveness. As long as we have Nadarim, we can't be forgiven. As long as we have Nadarim on us. So that's why it's Litzayrich, and since it's Litzayrich, it's Mutter. Now, there's a very interesting concept that the Mashag says in the Tshuvas. The Mashag explains that what's the reason that it's usur to be matan neder on Shabbos? Because it's a tircha that I should have done during the week. That means on Shabbos I'm not allowed to do anything that I could have done during the week. If I was able to do it during the week, or I'm only doing it on Shabbos because I don't want to have to be busy with it during the week, so it's usur to do it on Shabbos. That's the way he explains the whole concept of Hataros Nadarim. Now, that will help us understand why you could do Hataros Nadarim Yom Kippur. A person that's doing saying Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur, he's not saying Kol Nidre because he doesn't want to have to say it during the week, so I say it now on Yom Kippur. Now is the time for it. I'm not trying to save time during the week. Since my goal is not to save time during the week, it's Mutter. And that will be the answer to another Shaila. What's going to be the halacha that, let's say, somebody has a number of Nadarim, and one of the Nadarim is Letzarech Shabbos, that was saying now you're allowed to be matter that nether on Shabbos. So he's going to the Rav, and he has a heter to go to the Rav, as we learned in the Mishnah. Could he be matter the other Nadarim once he goes to the Rav? The answer is, perhaps, according to the Mashag, he may. Because the only reason we don't want him to go on Shabbos is because we don't want to do something on Shabbos that he should have done during the week, or he's trying to save weekday work. This person anyway is going to the Rav for the nether that he's allowed to. Once he's going to the Rav for that nether, he's allowed to go for the other Nadarim. The Nishalm Nadarim, so we see he could be Shal Nether on Shabbos. Iboilus, we asked, Kishloy Olepnai, is this heter only when he didn't have time during the week? Even if he had time during the week, he still has the heter. Says the Gemara Toshma, Tazdikiku Rabbanu Rav Zutra Berei Rav Zeira V'Shalei Neder, they were matter his neder V'Avgav Davalei Pnai, even though he had time before Shabbos. So we see that with Tzarech Shabbos you could be matter neder even if you had time during the week. However, the Bi Alocha says that of course it's still better to be matter neder or be made for the neder during the week. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah takes it a step further. He says, as we explained before, the husband, the father, have a right, b'yom shamay. So says the Mishnah Berurah, the wife or the husband or the daughter should not tell the father or the husband about the nether on Shabbos, because then I'll have to exercise the rights on Shabbos. Wait till after Shabbos, so you shouldn't have to come on to doing Hafaros Nadarim on Shabbos. That isn't absolutely necessary. However, one more point. The Gemara Masechet Nedarim points out that when a father or a husband are made for a neder on Shabbos, they should use a different language than they use during the week. What does that mean? During the week, when a husband or a father are made for a neder, they say, Meifalachi, we're made for the neder. But on Shabbos, the Gemara says, what should say is, to leave Achli, go and eat. She made a neder not to eat something. The father tells her, go eat it. That's obvious that he was made for the neder. And that's why the Mefarshim point out, it may be that the Gemara's question about are you allowed to be shoil and nether if you had time or didn't have time was only by shoil. Because by shoil, the process on Shabbos is the same process as during the week. So it's a process that we want to avoid. But since by hafara, the language used on Shabbos is a different language than what's used during the week, So there we're more lenient, and even if they had time, the halach would certainly be that you're allowed to be made for the nether on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. As we learned in the Mishnah, there was a story, Shapakus Amar Betfiach Vekashus Mekei De Begemi. So before we begin the Gemara, let's say an introduction. The halach is, as we've learned, a mace, a corpse, is metame ba'oil. That anything that's under the same roof as a mace becomes tame. So, however, there's an exception to that rule. If in the roof above the mace there's a crack the size of a tefach, then we say that the tumah does not spread to the sides, rather the tumah escapes upward and goes through the cracks. Says the Gemara. That was the story here. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Rav, Hilkati Ketana Hoyts Ben Shnei Batim. There was a narrow alleyway between two houses. The Tumah Hoyts Hashem. There was a person, the way the Mefarshim explained, that was very ill and about to pass away. Now, there were open windows. There was a roof pass over this alleyway and open windows on the two sides in the houses of the alleyway. Now, there was a crack in the barrel that was on top of the mace. If the crack is the size of a tefach, then we don't have to worry about the open windows on the sides, because the tumah will escape upwards and won't spread to the sides. But we weren't sure. The Gigas Sudakas Menachas Agabim, we had this barrel with the crack on top of the corpse. So since they did not know if this crack was the size of a tefach or not, this person was unfortunately about to die, so they didn't want tumah to spread into the houses. So what they did immediately was the pakos amar betfiach. Before the person died, they closed the window with an earthenware flask. So even if the crack isn't the size of a tefach, the tumah won't go into the houses because it was all totally separate. Now the kashrus makida begemi. Then they tied an earthenware vessel measuring a tefach wide with a strand of reed grass and attempted to pass it through the crack in the barrel, later im yesham bekigas pesach tefach lav, to determine whether there was a crack of a tefach in the barrel which would allow the tumah to escape upwards or not. So medvayim lamanu, from that we learned shepaikikin, that you're allowed to close something up. Here they closed up the window, or moidedin, that you're allowed to measure, because they measured the crack if it had the size of a tefach. The kashrim, and they also tied this in around the barrel, this grass, on Shabbos. And we'll learn the last piece of Gemara, Mitzvah Shem, by the scene.